when I think about those times in my life that I've been in the darkest places, I realize those dark times did not teach me to not trust. The opposite. It's the darkest times that taught me to trust. To trust life, to trust light, to trust God, to trust love. How does that happen? When things are the most challenging, how does that uplift us? It doesn't feel like it's happening at the time that it's uplifting. But as we've been talking about the lightness and the darkness in our prep time, what I realized is that the way I would describe the dynamic for myself is I have a very self-active mind, as we all do. When things are going well, I think, I've got it. I've got this under control. You know, I'm doing all the right things. I'm making it happen. I'm making it work. And I trust in myself, which is important. But in the darkness, when things aren't going well, I trust in myself, but not the ego mind, not the attached to my own good ideas mind. I get in touch with the strength that lies deep, deep in my being that isn't that. That is the God being within. That is the Christ Spirit. That is the truth of who I am. And I think that that happens because the more helpless, hopeless, despairing I feel, because I've tried everything and it just isn't working, and it looks so hopeless, that's when I go deeper. That's when the true surrender happens. The truest, deepest surrender to all that I actually am and the power and glory of that happens in the darkest times. And in watching the light come time after time out of the dark, life has taught me to trust that. Many years ago, I took a scuba diving certification course. And it was an excellent course because they dealt very deliberately with what happens when somebody's afraid and, you know, 60 feet down under the surface of the water. The natural thing when something happens and we're triggered by fear is you go straight to the surface. Well, that's not a good thing when you're a scuba diver. You don't want to shoot to the surface. You get bends and everything else. So the course was designed in a way to trigger a fear response. One of the ways, there's many ways they did that, but one of the ways was the course was held in an indoor swimming pool in a huge sort of gymnasium room that was a couple stories high. And we were practicing buddy breathing, right? Where somebody lost their air and you just stay with your buddy and then you share the regulator and you share the air. I take three breaths or whatever, you take three breaths like that, right? But stay close to your buddy was the teaching. Don't lose your buddy. So in the middle of the buddy exercise, they shut the lights out. I mean pitch black. You could not see your own hand in front of your face. And you're like, where's the buddy? Arms and legs going like this, trying to bump into your buddy. But the idea is that for many people, the reaction is to shoot to the surface, even though you're only in 5 feet of water or whatever. Failure, nope, you're dead now, or you're in the hospital dealing with bends or whatever. But what I noticed is being in the pitch dark with your air, and hopefully your buddy, sharing your air, there's an opportunity to rest and go into a deep peace of knowing I've got air, I'm okay, I've got my buddy. And then when the lights were out, somebody would come up behind you and pull your mask off. You know? Well, again, more people pop to the surface, little popcorns, you know. But again, okay, I don't have a mask. I'm okay. And to just breathe and continue to sit in the darkness and know that I have everything that I need. That's what I realized is the opportunity in the darkest times. And in some miraculous way, after fighting whatever's happening for some period of time, I have been able to find my way to resting in the deepest, darkest unknown, the greatest despair, and realizing I have everything that I need. Just keep breathing. And the light will come. And it always does. Has anybody ever been in that darkest, darkest place of any type of experience and the light didn't come? It always comes. Of course it always comes. And, you know, there's many definitions probably of faith. But it is that knowing, in my mind, it's that knowing. Of course the light will come. Of course the love is here. Of course I have everything that I ever needed and always will have. Because I live in an abundant universe. I live surrounded by unconditional love and acceptance, no matter what my current experience tells me. And when we come out of those circumstances with that deepest knowing, we bring the light into the world in a way that we didn't have the capacity to bring the light in the world before we were immersed in darkness ourselves. Is that true for you? And so there's the gift of the darkness, and I know that we all know that, but do we understand it? That the gift of the darkness is because it reminds us who we are. And a child of the living God. But I'm thinking in this moment, not a son of God, like S-O-N, but a son of God, like S-U-N. We are the light of divine being. And being a son of God, it's our job to bring the light. But we partly learn how to bring the light, really bring the light, in the midst of darkness. The darkness in the world, the darkness in a friend's life, the darkness in whatever situation we walk into. We learn to be the sun in that situation because we've experienced our own darkness. We've experienced our own ability to transcend darkness, hopelessness, despair, frustration. What I've noticed for myself is when I'm at my wit's end, so to speak, that's a good thing. Because it basically means that I have gone beyond the capacity of my own thinking to even begin to think, I got this. I can figure this out. And being at my wit's end in that way is perfect. Because then, and only then, the true power and glory that is me, as a goddess of love and light that came to earth to bring that, that's when it's available for me to be that and to bring that. I was thinking as Gary was speaking about Christ Mass, I spent years in the Episcopal Church. I wasn't raised in the Episcopal Church. It was a choice for me. And one of the things is that in the Episcopal Church, Mass is a sacrament, and that one of the distinctions, and I think this is also true in the Catholic Church, but versus Protestant, in the Episcopal Church, the body and blood of the bread and the wine are not representing the body and blood of Christ. The bread and the wine are the body and blood of Christ. Why? Because we say so. So the invitation of Mass is to take in the Christ Spirit, to embody the Christ Spirit, to bring it into your body and be the Christ. That's what Jesus was doing at the Last Supper. He was telling the disciples, be the Christ. Embody the Christ. And so we don't have to have a ritual that is taking bread and wine and saying it's the body and blood of Christ. We don't have to have that ritual to take in the Christ Spirit. But it certainly wouldn't hurt, because it brings a consciousness about, oh, I choose to embody the Christ Spirit. I choose to take it into myself and become the Christ. So what is the Christ Spirit that I'm taking in, that I'm choosing to take in? It's the God being, the one source of all being, the creator of all things, visible and invisible. It's the God Spirit on earth in human form Spirit. That's the Christ Spirit, right? Because Christ is God in form on earth. And when I choose to take in the Christ Spirit, I'm saying, this body, this life, this moment, I will be the Christ, which is what? God on earth. I will be an expression of God being on earth. I will be the divine creator of all things visible and invisible on earth. I will be that being. Why? Because I say so. And I only can do that if I can touch that reality and align with that reality, know it, ingest it, embody it. And I know for myself, my capacity to do that would not be what it is now had it not been for all of those dark nights of the soul that I had to transcend, that I had to remember who I was in the middle of them. So then I'm thinking, how do we be together in a way that promotes that in each other? How do we be with somebody in their dark night of the soul in a way that reminds them who they are? We can say words about, I know who you are, I know you can do this, and that's encouraging. But there's another whole level that has nothing to do with words. And it reminds me of what happened to me when I came to Sunrise Ranch. I was in a dark night of the soul. In raising Eden, I had come to my wit's end, didn't know how to do it anymore. And I ended up beginning a lengthy legal battle with the state of Colorado. She was involved in a child welfare system that, in my opinion, had nothing to do with the welfare of children. And I was fighting that system and fighting the state of Colorado. And I felt very alone. It felt so hopeless. It's like my only choice as a grandmother who wanted to raise my grandchild who had severe special needs was to figure it out. Just figure out how you can go to work when you can't put her in daycare. Just figure out how you can live a life when you can't sleep at night. Just figure out how you can do it by yourself. Or turn her over to us and we'll pay somebody $52,000 a year to take care of her. But I could get nothing. I could get no resources. So every time I went to court, I found myself feeling alone, and on that side of the table, all the people are stacked up that are against me and against my granddaughter, and on this side of the table, it's me. And in my first year of full self-emergence, within months of my arrival, I learned something. Carol Travis, who was leading FSC at the time, spoke to me about the power of agreement. And she said, Uma, you and I and another person need to come into agreement about this. She called in Soma's ex-wife, Charlene. Charlene and Carol and I came into agreement that when I walked into that courtroom, I was backed up, right? I wasn't alone. So physically, I still walked into every courtroom setting alone. And what I felt when I walked in was a holy host of angels walked in with me. I was surrounded by the light. The sense of being alone was replaced by the sense of being an expression of the all that is. And all that is right and good and true in the world, all that is child welfare and unconditional love for the needs of children and families. And it shifted and we won, but more importantly, it taught me something. I'm never alone. I'm never not loved. I'm never not supported and backed up by God and the universe. And when it feels like I am, it's just because, as Martin and Yolanda taught, it's in process. It's the creative process unfolding, and it hasn't come to fruition yet. That's all. It's the same thing as being in the pool in 6 feet of water in total darkness and knowing I have air, the light will come, I have everything I need, and being able to rest in that. So in whatever way we can be that for each other, bring that for each other through the power of agreement, I'm here with you in this.